This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:18, Tuesday the 25th of May. Let's talk about forest degazettments. Now, last year it was announced that the Selangor State Government intended to degazette the majority of the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve. While the state government has not made clear what it plans to develop in place of the forest, it maintains that the degazettment will be for the state's benefit.
The forest is believed to be almost 8,000 years old. It was gazetted as a permanent forest reserve in 1927 at the time spanning over 7,000 hectares. Now, less than 1,000 hectares currently remain. The decision to degazette the area has come under heavy criticism from politicians, NGOs and Orang Asli natives to the area. The government reasons that forest fires had already degraded the area and that it now poses a fire hazard, and has also pledged to replace the tracts of land earmarked for degazettement. Calls continue for the Selangor government to abandon the plan, which they say is still under discussion.
So today we're seeking to understand the subject of degazettments a bit better with the help of Kew Jia Yao, who's the co-deputy chair, Bar Council Environment and Climate Change Committee. Jia Yao, thank you for speaking to us. So what does degazettment mean in practice?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. When someone says a forest reserve is degazetted, that means that the area, which was previously gazetted as a permanent reserve forest, has lost its legal status as a permanent reserve forest. So degazettment is the loose word that we use. The proper word for the process is excision, i.e. the removal of something or cutting it out from a larger body. So a degazettment or excision is the change of the legal status of the piece of land where it will no longer be a permanent reserve forest. And from there, the land can be classified as a state land or private land and no longer be under a sustainable forestry regime. So what happens to it is entirely within the decision of the state government concerned, because under our federal constitution, the use and management of land and forests come under the jurisdiction of the respective state governments and not the federal government.
So why degazette now? I mean, what are the factors that are taken into consideration?
Well, first of all, what motivates a state government to excise a piece of permanent reserve forest, right? The biggest pressure on state governments to do that is to raise revenue for the state's coffers. Not very much of the revenue collected by the federal government is shared with the state governments. You could say that from the way our country's fiscal policy is designed, each state is almost expected to exploit its natural resources, which includes its forests, to defray the cost of running the state. So the biggest motivation to degazette forest reserves and sell these lands to developers is the state's fiscal pressure. So in doing this, the usual factors a state government will consider include the environmental situation of the land, whether there are Orang Asli communities there and involvement of native customary rights, whether there are strong sentiments among the local communities, and to a lesser degree, the persuasion of the federal government for that state to maintain its permanent reserve forest. But don't get me wrong, it's perfectly legal for any permanent reserve forest to be excised for development by a state government at any time and to any extent.
Yeah, legal for sure, but the logic and reasoning seems to be implied by the government that it's already a degraded area and poses a fire hazard. What you're kind of implying is that there's a more financial monetary consideration here as opposed to a environmental consideration.
Yes, exactly. That is largely the primary motivation behind it. It's a matter of fiscal pressure.
Yeah. But nonetheless, can you just help us understand how the process works, and is it dependent on state to actually get it degazetted? How easy is it for the state authorities to do so? How difficult is it?
So under the federal constitution, land matters are entirely under the jurisdiction of the state government. So the state have autonomy in deciding what to do with their land, and that includes their forests. So in terms of the legal process, every state has the autonomy to determine its own excision process. So I'm not familiar with most of the other states' legal procedures for doing that. From the little that I know, all it takes is for the state government to publish its decision in the Gazette, which is the official notice of the government's notices, yeah, their decisions. So this is the same in Selangor, where the North Kuala Langat Forest Reserve is, except that the Selangor state government must conduct a public consultation prior to any accession. It's an opportunity for public participation in the state government's decision-making process. And this mechanism was added as a mandatory requirement somewhere in 2011. But this is a limited window, yeah, in that the local communities and the civil society organizations, NGOs, can provide their views and feedback, but the decision ultimately rests entirely with the state government.
So these public consultations, they've been done already, or are they planned more consultations to take place?
Yes, we have read from papers that there has been a round of public consultation last year amid the MCO restrictions. So I don't know whether there will be more.
But can you really do public consultations in MCO period?
So that is that makes the whether they have the question of whether they have complied with the public consultation requirements that were set up in 2011 is a question. Yeah, to look at because if a decision that was procured based on a process that was not good, not correct, then that decision can later be challenged in court.
So, Jaya, I want to stay on the topic of the North Kuala Langat Forest. And clearly there has been pushback from public and even from politicians. So just from a legal perspective, is there anything that can be done to stop it?
Yeah, the local communities in the area have mounted a very strong movement against the Selangor government's plans, and for excellent reasons too, right? The de-gazettement would directly contradict the Kuala Langat local plan, the Selangor state structure plan, and the third national physical plan. Now, these plans are all very serious and important documents, and they set out very clearly the long-term importance of maintaining the permanent reserve forest in this area. So legally, there could be two types of actions, yeah, procedural and substantive. Now, from a procedural perspective, it's what we touched on a moment ago, where any failure to comply with the state's accession process can give rise to an opportunity for judicial review. That's where the court will check and balance against the executive decision. If successful, then the state government's de-gazettement decision could be quashed, and it will have to go through the de-gazettement procedure again. There's nothing stopping the state government from going back to square one and then running through the procedure again because it's already made up its mind.
But the state also has come out to say, right, that this process is not just one way. So if they de-gazette a land, they technically, according to Section 12 of the National Forestry Act, have to replace it at the same time, a similar tract of land of the equivalent size. So isn't this in some way, I guess, protecting our forests, or is this not good enough?
Yes, the National Forestry Act is one of the pieces of the puzzle that helps to ensure that under our state and federal regime, where states have ultimate say in the management and the use of the land, the federal government plays more of an advisory role, a technical role, but it can only persuade and negotiate with the respective states, yeah? So the requirement for states to replenish and to gazette back these permanent forest reserves after they excise another plot of land, well, that is on paper, and there is no legally binding force in terms of when they must do so. So, for example, various states have de-gazetted their forest reserves and then put that on an outstanding list of area that they must gazette back as forest reserves. And the other point is we cannot, have this fantasy that forests are like commodities, you know, where they are interchangeable.
Yep.
They are all unique, like your grandmother and your grandfather, they are not interchangeable. You can't say, okay, can we take out this one person and replace it with some other person somewhere else. You know, it doesn't work that way.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Kyo Jia-wei, Co-Deputy Chair of the Bar Council Environment and Climate Change Committee, reminding us, yes, each forest is unique. You can't just replace it with another piece of land.
Even though if you want to, you can't replace your grandmother.
Yes, exactly. But in February, The Bigger Picture also spoke to Lau Ya Hua, who is the co-founder, co-editor and writer of Makaranga.org, and Adrian Yeo, policy advisor with the Selangor State Government, about how forests are managed here in Peninsular Malaysia. You can find the series of podcasts on the BFM app or at bfm.my under the title Forest Files Findings, which I think is a very interesting conversation and probably a more lengthy one with regards to this BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.